You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I'll be focused as well on the geopolitics.
Wesley Davis is with Meridian Ag Research.
It does seem that there's some more activity between Ukraine and Russia on the war front that could continue or escalate. And, you know, in an escalation setting, that could potentially buoy some of the agriculture commodities and input prices.
And speaking of inputs, new federal guidance for the Section 45Z Clean Fuel Production Credit gives farmers and biofuel producers a clear framework for using qualifying ag practices in clean fuel calculations. IRS issued updated emissions rate guidance on September 8th, while the Department of Energy revised the 45Z GREET model. Changes recognize qualifying regenerative practices and provide transition relief for certain 2025 and 2026 fuel production. Now, for crop producers, participation could require additional record keeping. Ag consultant John Duff says 45Z places significant emphasis on field level data. It includes yield, fertilizer use, tillage, cover crops, and documentation supporting those practices. Sorghum and soybean groups have welcomed the changes. Updated model also recognizes distiller sorghum oil alongside distiller's corn oil in several clean fuel pathways could potentially expand demand for another ag co-product. Well, Argentina's cattle sector producing heavier animals as favorable corn economics and strong export demand encourage longer feeding periods. That's according to USDA's Ag Service staff in Buenos Aires. Beef production forecast 3.14 million metric tons. That's a carcass weight equivalent next year, up 3% year over year, even as cattle slaughter rises only slightly to 12.8 million head. But high feeder cattle prices and relatively low feed cost encouraging producers there in Argentina to retain cattle longer and add weight. Well, a new U.S. tariff rate quota program could boost demand for American cotton while creating fresh concerns for domestic textile manufacturers. That's according to textile trade analyst Bob Antoshak with Guernsey Americas. Now, the program covers Bangladesh, Cambodia, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Foreign factories buying U.S. cotton or textile inputs could receive limited apparel access without paying new Section 301 tariffs, while normal product duties still apply. But cotton producers could benefit because overseas mills would have another reason to specify U.S. fiber at a time when export competition remains intense and domestic cotton prices are under pressure. But there's a different risk for textile manufacturers. They argue the policy could encourage more raw cotton exports while allowing more finished Asian apparel back into the U.S. that would potentially bypass higher-value U.S. yarn, fabric, and regional manufacturing supply chains. And Antoshak also notes key implementation details remain unresolved, includes quota calculations, allocation rights, traceability, and whether higher-value U.S. textile inputs receive greater credit than raw fiber. It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We've seen so much drought.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers.
Unfortunately, we've got a lot of areas within the nation that are on the opposite end of the spectrum where they've had too much rainfall at the wrong time and has devastated crops from a flooding standpoint. So we've got all of that, not to mention the fact that with the war efforts that we've had going on within Iran, we know that the diesel prices are pretty much at an all-time high, and we know that fertilizer prices have gone up because of the increase in input costs, even though, unfortunately, we had a better market price this year for cotton, but it doesn't look like most farmers are going to be able to take a large advantage of that just because of the lack of production this year, and then also add to that the increased input costs. And I think certainly we can make a case for another year of some type of emergency assistance. In fact, the House, they've already passed their version of a Farm Bill 2.0. We're just waiting on the Senate to get a, hopefully, when they come back on September the 14th from their recent break, they will be able to go back into session within the Senate Ag Committee and finalize their version of the House, or excuse me, of the Senate Farm Bill 2.0, so that they can vote on that through the full Senate and then hopefully get that reconciled with the House and get some assistance out there. But we do know the House has already talked about and already recommended approximately $12 billion of assistance. And we don't know how that will come exactly at this point, but we do know that the Farm Bridge Assistance Program that was delivered based on the 25 crop, we know that that got a lot of praise for being something that was quick and efficient and able to in being able to get some emergency funding out into the countryside quickly. So I think chances are good that we could see something like that. I know that Plains Cotton Growers will be going back up to Washington, D.C. and fighting for some continued assistance in a program like that.
What are other priorities?
There are some other priorities that we have that we're going to be continuing to work on as we round out the end of the year, keeping the government open beyond December the 11th. And so a few things that we think could still happen on that, we're still hoping for completion of a Farm Bill 2.0. We're going to be looking for some emergency assistance for our farmers for those reasons that we mentioned just a few minutes ago. And then also, we won't forget the Buying American Cotton Act. And that has garnered a lot of support, both in the House and the Senate, but it has not come to the floor in the way of an option to be passed. Really, it needs some type of legislation to be attached to, and we think that probably one of the most likely things, with us being short on time, would be that year-end spending package. And so we'll see if we can get the Buying American Cotton Act passed. We think that that could make a tremendous difference for the entire cotton industry. And we also think that there's a lot of support up there, so we hope to be able to get it passed.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We have zero tolerance.
Former director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, and current Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent.
We are going to economically asphyxiate this regime. And as President Trump said, the reason the MOU did not work, they were not ready for a deal. My job is to make sure that they want to have a deal. And they will want to have one.
Countries that go against this embargo, you cut them off. Secondary sanctions, you take them out of the U.S. dollar system.
Well, that's what happened. That's what happened to this bank in Dubai, and it could be entities. It could be, it could be airline leasing companies, which we'll be looking at. It could be anyone who does business with the IRGC. We are tracking down the IRGC's assets, and I will say it on worldwide TV, just so you know, we know where in the British Virgin Islands your accounts are at these trust companies. We know the $100 million houses you have around the world, and we are going to freeze those. We are going to, our partners, we are going to close all of that down. So we are going to go after the regime's illegitimate assets that they have stolen from the Iranian people, and those can go back to the Iranian people, or they can go to the victims of terror, like the families of the soldiers who are on the USS Cole or in the Lebanese barracks. But we will stop this regime's ability to have a nuclear weapon, to have their current highly enriched uranium, to project terrorist power through their proxy networks, and to terrorize the Gulf. So after 47 years, it is over. And we are telling people, either you are with us or against us. And you know, everyone says to me, well, what about China? I said, we have more in common with the Chinese on Iran than we disagree with on. The Chinese agree Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. The Chinese agree that there should be freedom of navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. So we have had private discussions with them in terms of achieving those goals.
We're here at the G20. Are you getting the cooperation from our allies that you seek?
Yes. Look, Larry, the world is tired of this pariah state, or this rogue state, and they are willing to make it a pariah. The President Trump, rather than appeasement, he wants to end this once and for all. And the Iranians, they should understand, they can go back to being a normal country. That the Iranian people, the Persian people, are a great people.
Yes.
And that they have the chance to come back into the system. And they are being repressed. And you cannot have a small group stay in charge forever.
In the Middle East, this is about freedom, hopefully democracy. It's about investment. It's about economic growth. But I think, Scott Bessent, it's writ large. You cannot have an Iranian cancer with all of the wrong ideas and customs. You cannot have that. We believe in freedom. We believe in freedom for Israel. We believe in freedom for the countries in the Middle East. It extends into Europe, and it extends to the United States. The stakes are so high here, but I think the victory will be absolutely essential in this. I'm calling it a crusade. But in this war, we cannot have an Iran, as you put it. We cannot have an Iran the way it exists today.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We have countries that are considered elite financially, like Switzerland, like others. But if we didn't trade with them, they would be bankrupt countries.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, President Donald Trump.
We have massive deficits with them. We have the right not to trade. We have the right to put tariffs on them. But we have a much more powerful right than that. We have a right not to trade with them. So if we don't trade with Switzerland, just to use it as an example, if we don't trade, we have no deficit. Now, we have a big deficit with a lot of countries that should never have been allowed to happen. I had it very much corralled, starting to corral it. My first administration, then Biden let it go to hell, and we took it over. We've cut our deficit way down. We've cut our trade deficit way down, tremendously down. Nobody's ever seen cuts like this. But we have the right to take a so-called financially elite country that's paying a much lower interest rate. You know, we have countries paying, some countries are paying a half a point, and we're paying 4 points. And yet, we're a much stronger credit than they are, because if we don't trade with them, they don't have any money to pay the bills. And if we're not going to be treated properly, we're going to do that. And all we have to do to cut our trade deficit with the country is not trade with them. Canada's one. If we don't do any trading with Canada, we just end all trade with Canada, we'd save ourselves $90 billion. All trading with Canada. Don't forget, they do all of their business, almost all of their business with the United States, and we do a relatively small amount of business with them. But if we didn't want to, if we were playing hardball, all we'd do is say, we're going to do no trading with Canada. If we did no trading with Canada, we'd save $90 billion. And so what I'm saying very simply is that we should be paying the lowest interest rate in the world. Each point in interest in this country that we pay costs us $650 billion. We should be at 1% or a half a percent. We shouldn't be at 4%. We have other countries at a half a percent. And yet, if it weren't for us, they'd be bankrupt countries. We should be the lowest in the world, as we were 25 and 30 years ago. Under any circumstance, we were the lowest in the world.
While the markets are looking for a rate increase from the Federal Reserve.
To me, you should do a rate cut, because we should be at 1% or a half a percent. We should not be at 4%. Because everything, as I explained, we could do tremendous good for ourselves, but just not trading with countries. We lose with the European Union $200 billion a year. If I didn't trade with them, we'd lose nothing. Just one swipe of the pen. We lose with Mexico $195 billion a year. If I don't trade with Mexico, they have nothing that we have to have. I mean, hot tamales, tomatoes, a couple of things. But basically, they have nothing that we need. We have oil. We have everything. I don't want to do that because we get along very well with the president. We like the president, respect her a lot. But if we didn't want to trade with Mexico, if we didn't want to trade with Canada, we'd save from $60 to $90 billion a year just by not trading with Canada. Now, Canada would be in a heap of trouble. I don't think they'd exist. Because, again, they do 95% of their business with us. So if I say we're not going to trade, that means 95% of their business gets wiped out. I don't know what they do. But so we should have the lowest interest rate, as we used to 25, 30 years ago when we were smart.
Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I think there's several reasons why it's important.
Monty Christian is with Texas Tech University on the upcoming global sorghum event in Texas.
A lot of growers, they understand the value of research. If we don't have research and new technologies being brought into the marketplace, then things stall out. You know, I had a whole career where we were bringing genetics and making improvements in genetics and things on crops. Today, the tool bag for a lot of companies in predictive breeding with some other things that are coming on, abiotic stress research and those change the landscape. They can improve yield. They can improve crop resiliency. They can make better water efficiency use. And you can also look at new value streams, too. So at this conference, we've been very intentional about getting some of the key grower leadership here. And those will come from some of the state organizations with sorghum, like Texas Sorghum Producers, Kansas Sorghum Producers, the National Sorghum Producers with U.S. Checkoff and NSB, and then some other state associations. There will be growers from other countries, too. We have 20 countries now that are going to be participating here. We have over 350 people registered. We have a big student population that's also going to be registered, about 60. We are training the next generation of people that are going to enter the marketplace. So, Tony, when I look at this, sorghum is such a diversified crop from nutrition to the things it can do in a semi-arid area where I live today. Yeah, so, you know, I've traveled the world, and I've tried a lot of different foods from around the world, but I'm not sure I've ever tried sorghum. And in the United States, traditionally, we don't eat a lot of sorghum. It goes for grain and feed, whether it's cattle, chickens, or other things. It's exported a lot to those type of markets as well. But it is a traditional food in many, many countries. And a lot of research that's been generated in the United States shows it's gluten-free. It's very, very nutritious for human consumption. So at this conference, we have taken advantage of that. We are going to serve sorghum cuisine from around the world. So we have 13 recipes that we've worked on throughout the last 6 months. We're getting some sorghum flour from Kansas brought in from New Life. And it's going to be something when you have 350 people and they say, I'm tasting sorghum from Asia. Well, not from there, but a dish that's traditionally served there. Or this is coming from Latam, or this is coming from Africa or Australia. I think we're going to have, that's going to be one of the fun things here. And we're serving some sorghum throughout the entire event, different types of things. So we're driving consumption too, is how I would leave it.
There will be researchers there, but what else comes out of this conference?
This conference, while historic, we're also focused on bringing key information to everybody that participates. We're also have set the event up for networking. This is a great opportunity to establish new networks or strengthen existing networks. So we've got hospitality built into this. We've got scientific research data that's going to be presented. We have industry panels that are going to be there. We have workshops set up that will address sorghum silage. ARS is going to do something on their new sorghum roadmap. We have NASA Acres on their thing for workshops as well. The, you know, we're talking about new markets. We're talking about genomics, genetic gain. And every evening we have a nice event. We want everybody coming from around the world and inside the United States to understand that we lean into our hospitality in this area. So I really appreciate you giving me the time today to share all these things.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Onshoring has now become an important theme for our whole economy.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and former director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, from the G20 meeting in North Carolina.
Larry, as I've said many times, the only good thing about COVID, and we were just talking about your experience in the White House during the COVID crisis, the only good thing was that it showed us where many of the choke points are. And I often say in our trade discussions with China that we do not want to pull apart from them, but we have to de-risk. Mm-hmm. We have to de-risk everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. We could see the Iranians are trying to use the Strait of Hormuz as a choke point. It's not a choke point for the U.S., but it is a choke point for many, many other countries. And that will be bypassed in 2 years. In 2 years, the Strait of Hormuz will be like a worthless piece of water. Mm. That the oil will be going on pipelines across land. But we have semiconductors. It's critical minerals. It's the precursors for many of our medicines. Mm. I mean, I think probably everyone in this audience and everyone on TV who listening to you has had a child that has had amoxicillin. Yeah. We do not produce amoxicillin here in the U.S. Mm. So we have to do that. And look, sometimes the people who say let the market work, the market will sort it out. Well, there are market failures. There are market failures, and I think what we've learned is that maximum efficiency is not maximally secure. Mm. And under President Trump's direction, there are a group of us in the administration who are securing that all these critical nodes in the supply chains. Mm. And again, whether it's critical minerals, whether it's semiconductors, we're trying to bring 35% of the semiconductor production, the advanced semiconductor production, back into the U.S. Mm. By the end of the president's term or by the end of the decade, which is very important.
And I think it's interesting. I know, you know, sometimes the president embellishes just a wee bit.
Your words, not mine. Your words, Larry.
Just the occasional embellishment. But when he talks about trillions of dollars being invested here, whatever the exact number is, his point is well taken. There's money coming from the Middle East. There's money coming from Europe. There's money coming from Asia. We see this. This is part of the economic boom. We have the incentives. The idea is onshoring, and this is part of the reciprocity trade. I think it's a success. And you have said, look, he has said, you have said, trade security, economic security, national security, all go together. It's of a piece, and people have to realize that.
Agreed. And you know, it's important when we think about the ability to build things. Well, you know, not only is it important to have a steel industry, it is important to have the tradition of craftsmanship. Oh. Like that's what in World War II, the private industries, the U.S. went over to military footing, and we were able to do that because we had the workers and the skills to do that. We need to make sure that we still have that in the U.S. And I think we are going back to that. You know, this is not some like antediluvian notion that we've moved into a different thing where we can just have consumer products and financial services. Mm-hmm. That there are certain things that we need to onshore or nearshore.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.